James chapter 1, verse 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Stop there and review. Verse 12 of James 1. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised him that love, promised them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. So first part of James, it starts out with a temptation. Now you got to get this. Remember, I keep saying to you, when it's a, people want to know the difference between a test and a temptation. I've written a book about it, some things about it, a chapter in a book, but somebody asked a question in Chile, and then the answer came out by the Holy Ghost, and the Lord just gave it to me very succinct. He said, a test from him comes to prove you. That'll deal with your character. But a temptation from the devil always comes to move you. And so this is a temptation. And so this is the devil. So understand, this is not, so sickness and disease is not a test from God. It's a temptation from the devil, and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy from you. Poverty, anything that Jesus redeemed you from, the Lord is not going to test you with. Amen. Get it clear? Well, I just believe God's sovereign and he allows whatever he allows. No, to say that is just so, just not knowing the New Testament. Jesus paid a high price. God's never allowing a sickness ever to come on you. He's never allowed you to get in an accident. Now, he'll take things the devil meant for evil and turn them around for good. Are you with me? He'll always take what the devil meant for, but you got to understand the cause. And for you, don't yield to it. It's really strong right now. It's back everywhere like it was in the 60s and the 70s about how it's just all up to God. You cannot leave up to God what he leaves up to you. And one of the things you got to understand is where stuff comes from. Because if you don't know, if it's a test, you need to work through it and pass the test. But if it's a temptation, you need to resist it. And so he's clearly saying this temptation and where it comes from. And then verse 13 says this, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. So he's real serious about it. Don't say it comes from God. So this is a problem for most of the body of Christ. They don't know what comes from God and what doesn't come from God. But thank God that even though people perish because of lack of knowledge, knowledge is available today. Because God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but we can know his ways and thoughts. He wrote a whole big book. Amen? Let no man say, I'll never say, God tempted me. Because he cannot be tempted with evil and neither he tempts any man with evil. Come on, this should settle this. He doesn't, well, there's nuances, Pastor Mark. There's not nuances. It is what it says it is. God does not tempt any man with evil, neither tempts he any man. Verse 14, but every man is tempted. What happens? When he is drawn away of his own lust, so we have a body problem. Y'all still have a body? When you got born again, your body didn't get born again. Your spirit came alive. You were born again. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have a soul that needs to be it needs to be renewed. It needs to, your soul, some of it needs to be healed. It needs to you need to give your will, make your will God's will. And then you have this temple, the temple of the Holy Ghost, your body. And it still has the lust of the flesh in it. It says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away with his own lust and is enticed. When the lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. Do not err in this. Do not err in this. Don't have any error about this, my beloved brethren. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church. He said this, every good, so he's real strong about this. And yet most of the body of Christ is still confused about this. Every good and perfect gift, if it's good, it comes from God. If it's bad, it comes from the devil. Our four-year-olds can figure this out. It takes a preacher, especially, never mind. It takes a preacher to mess this up. And religious thinking to mess this up. Yet most of the body of Christ doesn't know what comes from God and what comes from the devil. And if you don't, you're confused because you don't know what to receive and you don't know what to accept. You need to pass the test, and there are tests, but thank God it's an open book test. And it's come to prove you, God's trying to get you to a place. But the temptation is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Every good gift is, and perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, who in there's no variableness. What does that mean? Y'all remember, is it algebra? Where they had those, like, you put things, it's been a long while. But you put something in the equation, but God is a constant. So whatever you put in the equation, it remains the same. There is no variableness with him. No shadow of turning. So we get that. So we got that firm, right? Now let's go back up then. So he's talking about temptations. I love the way James ministers, because we put it in chapter and verse, but he's in a letter, and he'll kind of get some part of the letter out, and then he'll go on to something else, and then he comes back to it again. And that's just the way he wrote by the Holy Ghost. And so I'm excited about it. Oh, I can't wait. Hallelujah. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So let's look at this. Let's dig in a little bit. In James, we're not going to get very, just like Ephesians, we're not moving very fast. We're going to look at it, and we're going to teach this just a little bit at a time. But this is, it says this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Now remember, don't go back to thinking this trying of your faith is coming from God. Because see, if you do that, and people do that all the time, because the trying of my faith, well, I've had this sickness for a while, so God is just trying my faith. No, no, no. This is talking about the devil has attacked you. You came up on something. You fell in a ditch. You're feeling overwhelmed. And the devil's trying to steal, kill, and destroy from you. But the Holy Ghost is saying, but even though the enemy thinks he's all that, if you'll do this right, he's going to be sorry that he messed with you. That's what it's really saying. Because knowing this, I know this, that when the devil comes to try me, what does try me mean? He doesn't think your faith is all that. He thinks he can wipe you out. He is that arrogant and that bold. He thinks he can take you out. And he has taken a lot of people out. And he has deceived many, even from the garden. But you and I, we're full of the Holy Ghost. We're full of God. Come on, we have encountered the mercy and the goodness of God. The love of God is in us. The word of God, the revelation of God is in us. But he's like, knowing this, so if I know this, do you know this? Knowing this, that when the devil comes to see if you got any faith, it will do something. It will work patience. So let's look at this. Let's look at first, and this is going to be an amplified classic night, all right? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. Wesley, are you up there? Did you buy the Good News translation? If you did, can I have it first? If you didn't, oh, you did. Be glad about this, even though it may now be necessary for you to be sad for a while. What does that mean? Be glad about it, even though it's sad. In other words, so I'm supposed to be glad or cheered up spiritually, but even if I have reason, like I was talking to somebody by the Holy Ghost, you have every reason to look around and in the natural be sad. But don't be sad. Be glad about this. Everybody say, I'm glad about this. I'm cheering. Even though the devil's coming after me, and even though he's harassing my mind, and even though it looks bad, and even though I'm tempted, and even though I didn't do it right maybe, but I should just give up. But I'm just not going to give up, because God's living on the inside of me. And I'm just going to turn it around on him. I'm just going to get glad about it. If you want to mess with me morning, noon, and night, that just tells me that you're a little bit afraid of me. And so I'm just going to get glad about it. Even though it was necessary for you to be sad for a while because of the many kinds of trials you suffered. And again, that trial is not a test from God. That is a temptation. That's the temptation part. This is not coming from God. It is the devil thinking he can take you out. But the Holy Ghost is asking you to look at it a little different. he's asking you to look at it a little different. Verse 7. Their purpose is to prove that your faith is genuine. These trials from the devil. So the Lord's saying, but if you look at it a little different, let's look at the real purpose of it. It's not that the Lord sent, the devil and the Lord are not on the same team. When the devil comes, he comes on his own. Right? And what his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But if the Lord is saying, if you look at it a little different and look at it like a weight, this purpose is to prove that your faith is genuine. Everybody say, my faith is genuine. Come on, y'all, we got the real faith. Even gold, which can be destroyed, is tested by fire. So even gold, you know, how do you purify gold? Turn up the heat. And then you do what? You scrape off the dross. That's how they get pure gold. Fire is necessary. Well, the devil don't know. If you and I really know this and understand, Pastor Mark, are you saying invite the devil? You don't got to invite him to no dance. You don't invite him to no party. He is already there. And because he thinks he can destroy anything and everything. But you got to make up your mind, he cannot destroy me. He may be a roaring lion, but he ain't eating nothing of mine. Ain't eating my lunch. Even gold, which can be destroyed, is tested by fire. So is your faith. So like your faith, which is much more precious than gold, must also be tested so that it may endure. Then you will receive praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. Let's look at this in the Amplified Classic, verse 6. Woo, I'm stirred up about this. 1 Peter 1:6, you should be exceedingly glad on this account. Everybody say, I'm exceedingly glad. Though now for a little while you may be distressed by the trials and the suffer temptations. So it's like, okay, I realize you're going through it, but you should be exceedingly glad. So if you're going through something tonight, you came into the right room at the right time, and you should just leave here exceedingly glad. Though now for a little while, you may be distressed by the trials and suffer temptations. Keep going. So that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Now I understand again, God's not doing it. The devil's trying to destroy you, but you're going to turn this around on him. Amen. Which is infinitely more precious than perishable gold, which is tested and purified by fire. This proving of your faith is intended to redound, I like that word, to your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, is revealed. Okay, let's keep looking. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 13, and we'll just, for time's sake, look at the Amplified Classic. 1 Peter 4, 12. Wake up, Wesley. Okay. Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal. So where's the fiery ordeal coming from? How many times? All the time. Which is taking place to test your quality. So the Lord knew the devil was going to try to destroy us, so he decided to use it against him, and yet most believers don't know this is even a deal. But the word says, beloved, do not be amazed. Because, see, a lot of people, though, they look at this as God is sending it, and because God is sending it, but if you're looking at it wrong, it's a temptation. It's not a test. It's a temptation. It's something, an ordeal, something you've fallen into that meant to take you out. But if you'll begin to look at it different, if the devil's coming at me, I'm going to use my faith. And when I do, when I get out of this fiery ordeal, which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange, unusual, and alien is to your position were befalling you, verse 13, or keep going, whichever it is, but insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, rejoice. 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 So that when his glory, full of the radiance and splendor, is revealed, you may also rejoice with triumph. Okay, let's keep going. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Again, Amplified Classic. I think we're going up to 18. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4. Assured that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up also with Jesus and bring us along with you to his presence. I just want to run into this one. Verse 15. For all these things are taking place for your sake, so that the more grace, divine favor, and spiritual blessing extends to more and more people and multiplies through the many, the more thanksgiving may increase and redound to the glory of God. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not become discouraged. I'm not going to get discouraged. I refuse to be depressed. Nothing too big for, I'll get a little RSMB. Utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. Now, don't raise your hand on this one. But you notice when you yield to the devil and you start feeling sorry for yourself, and when you start getting overwhelmed, whoever's listening to me, listen to me. When you start doing that, you get it. You feel exhausted, wearied, and almost spiritless. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. Verse 17. For our light, momentary affliction. Where does affliction come from? It always comes from the devil. This slight distress. So I love the Holy Ghost who Paul is saying to everybody. Come on, what did Paul go through? You know, I tell you all this stuff, but I was going through something one time and I was really complaining to the Lord. And he said, basically, I felt like the Holy Ghost is kind of rough with me sometimes. He just said, yeah, you go tell Paul all that. And Paul would probably say to you, toughen up, buttercup. And maybe he wouldn't say that to you, but it shook me out of it because, listen, the Bible says it's momentary. For everything that Jesus went through, come on, everybody say, this is light. It's momentary. Well, pastor's been going on for a year. Well, 1,000 days, you know, come on. Years as 1,000, whatever. 1 year is as 1,000 with the Lord, 1,000, whatever. Hallelujah. It's light and it's momentary. It's ever more and more abundantly preparing us. What? Is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory. But listen. I know the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I keep telling you that. And I know those things don't come from God. And God has no part to play in it. He's not allowing it. Are you with me? He's not allowing it. The devil is the devil, and he's still the God of this world. And he has a right to try to mess with us. But we have a right to resist. And if we start taking our place, that when we really do resist in faith, it is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. 18. Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for these things are invisible, this is just temporary. This momentary light affliction is just temporary. This momentary light affliction is just temporary. It's brief and it's fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. So I want you to see that with other scriptures, but now let's go back to James 1. My brethren, count it all joy. So we've done that. Have you counted it joy? James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into whatever the devil's trying to do to you. Verse 3, knowing this, knowing what? That if I will do this right, when the devil comes at me, if I will resist him steadfast in the faith, it's producing something in me. It's called an eternal weight of glory. It's called the presence of God. It's strength. It's power. It's knowing this, that the trying of your faith, when the devil comes to see if you've got any. Come on, do you have any faith? Do you have the measure of faith? Now listen, patience is talked to, that trying every faith works patience. Now listen, patience are different places. I gotta hurry. Patience are different places. Hebrews 12 talks about patiently and enduring, running your race. The Lord is patient, waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. By faith and patience, you inherit the promises of God. But this direct part of patience we're talking about tonight is this, knowing this, that when the devil comes to take you out, when he brings sickness and pain to your body, you can either lay there and take it and let him win, or you can rise up on the inside of you and know what is yours, and you can resist him steadfast in the faith, and it's going to produce something. What is it going to produce? It's going to produce patience. So listen to me. It's either going to work one or two ways. Either the devil's going to win or you're going to win. Either the devil's going to win and he's going to steal, kill, and destroy from you. And in the situations of your life, that is what it is. There is only one winner in this. Either he's going to win or you're going to win. Now, we should already, well, Pastor, we've already won in Christ Jesus. But why are so many people losing battles? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith. So I got to turn this around. I got to understand when he's coming at me that he thinks he's going to take me out. But I know he's already been taken out. And I'm going to stand, I'm going to be like Paul. None of these things move me. I'm not moving. That the trying of your faith works something. What does it work? It works hupomino. It works hupomino. Now let's see if I can get my best brother Rick on me. This, so that word that works patience. And really a better translation would be patient endurance. Some of you heard me teach on the three P's of faith. Patience, persistence, and perseverance. Or perseverance, endurance. So in order for your faith to work, you need patience, perseverance, and persistence. Or perseverance, endurance. And so here, knowing this, that the trying of your faith. So when the devil comes, if you and I do this right, it's going to work something. He's trying to work something, steal, kill, and destroy. But if you understand when he's coming and you turn it back around and just don't lay there and die, complain, give up, call 100 people to pray for you. Instead, you fight back, steadfast in the faith, resisting the devil. When you do that, it works patience in you. So what is that? Hupomino. This is what it means. This depicts a person who knows he's in the right place. Hence, regardless of the pressure, assaults, or restraints that are forced upon him, he has decided, everybody say, I have decided, that he will not bend, bow, or break under the pressure. I'm not breaking under this pressure. I'm not breaking under your whining. I'm not breaking. Moms and dads, I'm not breaking to your whining to the kids. I'm not breaking to it. I know where God told us to be, and that's where we're going to be. When you grow up and you get 18 and you are on your own, you can do whatever you want. But then you'll figure out that I was right and you were wrong, and you can tell them I told you so. Praise the Lord. He has decided, everybody say, I've decided, I'm not going to bend, I'm not going to bow, I'm not breaking under the pressure. He has decided that this is my spot. Come on, have you ever had a spot? I remember, she's not in here, Destiny has moved out to the youth to help lead worship in the youth and be a youth leader, so praise the Lord. So now I'm going to talk about her a lot on Wednesday nights. But when we used to go away on our missions trips, the two grandmothers would watch her and Miss Doris. And, you know, grandparents and friends don't often discipline children like parents do. Because everybody, you know, people just say when they get to be grandparents, they wish they could have skipped the kids and went right to the grandparenting. Because grandparenting is fun. And so they were having fun. But when we got home, now don't anybody ask her about it. Oh, well, you can now. She'll probably tell you some stuff now. But when we get home, like we would sit at the table and I had a place to sit. And Rhonda had a place to sit. That's where we always sit. But Destiny had taken over that place when I left. And so then we got home. When we go to dinner, she's like, no, you sit here. I'm like, I ain't sitting there. This is my spot. You sit there. I'm sitting here. And it wouldn't last very long till we had to retrain her that I'm the boss around here, you're not. And you've got to get that way with the devil. You're the boss. You're the boss over this. You're the boss. I'm the boss. You can't just do whatever you want to do. I'm the boss. I'm the boss. Because Jesus made me the boss. I'm the boss under him. He's the big boss, but I'm the little boss, and this belongs to me. And I'm not going to do what you say. Praise the Lord. This is my spot. Everybody say, this is my spot. And nothing's going to move me from my spot. What this is, this hupomino, patient endurance is this. It is saying it's an unrelenting decision to hold fast to your spot. It's like when a soldier is in war and they're assigned a position and they refuse to give up their ground no matter what. Now listen, you and I have already won the war. And we may have fights, you know, to put the enemy back into place. But you and I got to get to the place where, like a soldier, I was assigned this spot. This is my spot, and I'm not moving from my spot. I'm not giving it up. This word hupomino is found many different places. Revelations, can you put these up real quick, Wesley, or whoever's up there? Revelation 1:9. I don't know if it's Wesley or Jimmy. Somebody's up there. I, John, who am a brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom of patience, that's that word hupomino, and patience of Jesus Christ. So he was in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience. So this is who Jesus is. Jesus is, he knew his spot. He wasn't giving unto the devil his spot. He resisted the temptation. He went to the cross. He finished his course. And he has this patient endurance. And he's given it. He's gifted it to us. It's on the inside of us. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of me. I have the ability to do what the Lord does. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, this hupomino, it means patiently waiting for Christ. But let's skip to this one. Let's look at Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, hupomino in tribulation. So when tribulation comes, I've got to have this patient endurance. I just want you to see this, continuing instant in prayer. And then later in James 1:12, where it says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. That word endures is hupomino. So you're supposed to get the idea of, okay, whenever you see that word, that means that's my spot and I'm not moving. No, you can't sit in my spot. No, you can't stand in my spot. No, you can't move me from my spot. This is the spot the Lord gave me, and I'm not moving. That's why Apostle Paul said, none of these things move me. And he had a lot of things try to move him. Right? All right, so what do we do? Let's look at verse 4. Knowing this, the trying of your faith works something. Well, I don't want the devil to come. Well, nobody wants the devil to come. Raise your hand if you'd like the devil to come try to steal. Nobody does. But listen up, he's coming. And I tell you this all the time because the Lord told me. He's like, the devil's not playing, and I wish you'd quit playing. Because he's serious about stealing, killing, destroying. He may not be able to keep you out of heaven, but he can keep you from having heaven on earth. So I got to know something. What do I know? If I work this right, when the devil comes at me, if I actually know this and believe this, then when he comes, I'll be like, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm not inviting him to come. He's coming. Jesus didn't invite him to come. But I will tell you this, don't want to expound on it too much. Jesus was led into the wilderness. The reason King David is because he was in the right place at the right time. And I believe he was meant to fight Goliath. He was anointed to be king. And then Goliath was in his path. And from that, God used that. I'm not saying to you, and I don't believe God allows the devil to come to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't. But the devil's coming, and you might as well get prepared. And what you can do is if you see him coming, then you can be like, all right, I'm going to resist, and I'm going to win. Because when this is all done, I'm going to have patience. Yeah, come on, did you grow up here? Don't you ever pray for patience? Well, that's just silly. Because I don't think patience comes by praying anyway. Patience comes this way by resisting the devil. And the reason that most people don't have any patience or faith and patience is because when the devil comes, they don't know what to do. But you all know what to do. Come on. When he tries to make you depressed, you can even feel it. Even if you don't feel like it, I know better. I know what this is. Ha, ha, ha. And you may not feel a thing while you're going, ha, ha, ha. But you start doing that every day and then speaking the word of God. I'm full of cheer. I've decided, like the Apostle Paul said, to cheer up. I'm going to be like King David. I'm not going to let my soul get me. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Talk to yourself. Well, I don't feel like it. I'm sure Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross. Hallelujah. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith does what? Works patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. So patience has a work in your life. And if you don't resist the devil, in this sense, you're not going to have any patience. And if you don't have any patience, then patience can't have her perfect work. So let's look at some of this. Colossians 1:11, Amplified Classic. Colossians 1:11. Oh, I forgot to get you my notes. Colossians 1:11, Amplified Classic. We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory to exercise. So this is working back and forth. So when I'm strong, and when I confess I'm strong, and when I wait on the Lord and I receive strength, we pray, and I can pray for that you be invigorated, and I can pray for you that you be invigorated and strengthened with all power. How many know the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living on the inside of you? I can pray that you experience that power is revealed to you, that our power is revealed to me, and that we be strengthened with all power according to his might of his glory. Then to do what? To exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. So joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. But when I get this patience, it's like a little circle. It's a circle. It's like a little circle. So if I rejoice with joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I get strength. If I get invigorated with strength, I'm able to exercise patience and endurance. And when I exercise patience and endurance, patience then has its perfect work. And then I do it all with joy again. And then I have this joy again. And I rejoice with joy. And then I'm strengthened with joy. And then I got the strength of God on the inside of me. And then I see his glory and his power and his exercising to every endurance and patience. And when I have patience, it's having its perfect work. 1 Peter 5:9-10, Amplified Classic. 1 Peter 5:9-10, Amplified Classic. Glory. Withstand him. Who are we withstanding? The one who's bringing the temptation, the devil. Be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. Come on, let's confess that. Say, I'm rooted, established, strong, immovable, and I am determined. Knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed in your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. In other words, you don't have anything in your life. The devil tries to tell you, you're the exception to the rule. You're the only one going through this. Now, I hate to tell you this. I love you. I think you're wonderful, but you are not that special. The devil would like you to think you are. You're the only one ever gone through anything. You're the only one going through this. Why is he trying to make you feel special? So he can isolate you. Because you don't understand me. You have no clue what I'm going through. You don't get me. You have no clue. But the Bible said these sufferings are appointed. So appointed means, but you got to understand, again, not God. Who are you withstanding? The devil. So who's trying to bring you all this stuff? The devil. What am I going to do? I'm going to be rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. And I know it's going on in everybody. Verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while. Well, I don't like that little while. And I don't like to suffer. And nobody that I know does. But it says it, and you can't ignore it. After you suffered a little while. In other words, sometimes, well, how long do I have to resist? Well, until he goes away. What other choice do you have? What other choice do I have? Well, I wish he'd stop. Well, wishing's not going to make him go away. Trust me. I know, I was out of Bible school, so this was 30-some-odd years ago. 34, going on 35. The Lord asked me to do something. It's when he asked me to be a youth pastor, and I didn't want to be a youth pastor. I wanted to talk to the adults. I didn't want to do the youth pastor thing, and I really just kind of ignored him, and actually some things came on me, and I was really having a hard time, and I just didn't want to do it. I just got out of the will of God, and all things are just some things were coming at me, and it doesn't take long to get back in the will of God. All you got to do is repent, and then the suffering will go away. But the devil, don't get out of the will of God. To even try to make your life easier, do what you want. The will of God's the best place to be. I don't know what that was all about, but I did it anyway. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be, establish, ground, and securely, and strengthen and settle you. There it is all again. So I want you to see this. So even though the devil comes to tempt you, you're going to resist him steadfast in the faith. And you're going to be strong, immovable. You're going to have the strength of God on the inside of you, and you're going to resist him in the name of Jesus. And then after you suffered a little while, that little while doesn't have to be years, but there is some suffering involved. Where is that suffering? It's not sickness and disease. It's not poverty. It's not anything that you've been redeemed from. But what is that? It's uncomfortableness in your flesh. Maybe some anxiety to your soul. It may be something that way, but it is nothing the Lord has redeemed you from, and you can get out of it. You don't have to stay here. Everybody say, I'm not staying here. Suffered a little while, then the God of all grace, Jesus suffered a little while, was 3 days. This is not years we're talking about. This is not your burden to bear. This is not who you are. This is not your identity, the suffering Christian. Okay? Jesus suffered so you don't have to. That's not what that's talking about. So after you suffered a little while, I would say a little while. The God of all grace. How many of the, if you submit yourself to God, then grace comes. And when you get the grace of God, you can resist the devil, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory by in Jesus Christ Jesus, will himself complete you. So again, the devil's coming at me, but if I resist him, what's going to happen? He's going to complete me. And he's going to make you what you ought to be. So the devil meant to destroy you, but if you do it right, you're going to get completed. If you do this right, you're going to be all, come on, it's better than military. Which branch? You can be all you're supposed to be. I know I should know that. Establish and ground you, I'll be secure. I'm going to be strengthened, and I'm going to be settled. Amen? Romans 5, 1 through 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold on joy, peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Verse 2. Through him, also we have our access, entrance, introduction by faith into this grace, state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand, and let us rejoice and exalt in our hope and experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. So we got grace and glory again. Here we go. Verse 3. Moreover, let us be full of joy. So we got the grace and glory. We got grace and glory and joy again. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles. Who causes our troubles? The devil. So once again, in all this grace and glory and joy, suddenly again, it's the attack of the devil. Isn't it amazing how the Word of God all complements itself, and even though there's different writers, it's the same Holy Ghost, and he just does it in different ways to get us to understand. When the devil's coming at you, you have a choice to let him steal, kill, and destroy you, or you can turn the very thing on him. It's a kobota ke la hamestila prefene. It's a komone kalange shalabia. It's a barvente, it's a lupe, it's a lange, it's a mashono rebete. That's why so many you see in my body that what the devil tried to destroy them in, I raise it as a platform for them to minister off of to others. And I will do the same with those sitting in this room. If you will trust me and you will resist the devil and you will stand fast in my faith and you will acknowledge my glory and my grace, and I will lift you up and give you a voice in these troubled times. Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you're new to that, that's tongues and interpretation from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And maybe you've never heard anyone speak in tongues before, but that's the actual manifestation of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, tongues and interpretation of tongues. It's in the Bible. All right. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings. rejoice in our sufferings? That's counted all joy. That's counted all joy. Let us not in all things give thanks. For all things, you're not going to thank God for cancer. He didn't give it to you. I'm not going to thank God for a car accident. I'm not going to thank God I got fired. Because God didn't cause it, probably you did. But, you know, or the company, I don't know. I just threw that in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, the devil, well, if you're late 5 out of 5 times, you're going to get fired. The Lord didn't do that. The devil didn't do that. You did that. Hallelujah. But the Lord is merciful and kind and gets you a bigger, better job. But be on time next time. Hallelujah. I just gave a tongue interpretation. Hallelujah. I'm not in the flesh right now. I'm just telling you. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the pressure and affliction and the hardship produce patience. There it is again. Let patience have its perfect work. But what produces it? The pressure. Well, I don't want any pressure. Yeah, but you won the victory. And he's coming anyway. The devil's coming anyway with the temptation. So you're just going to have to just change the way you think about it. Fine, you're coming at me. I'm going to turn this around. You may have attacked me to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm going to resist you. And when I have some sufferings, I'm going to know, knowing that. I know that the pressure and the affliction, I don't know if I've helped you at all tonight, but I have really helped me a lot. Knowing that the pressure, I preach myself really happy right now. Knowing that the pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. Keep going, it gets better. Verse 4. And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. So then this endurance I have develops my character, and approved faith and tried integrity and character of this sort produces joy. So there it is again. We got this grace and glory and joy, and the devil comes and I resist, and I got all this joy again, and then I got all this strength again, and then I got all this patience again, and then I'm letting patience have her perfect work. Verse 5. Such hope never. So how did I get this hope? Because I persevered against the devil. Because I was strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because I resisted the devil in Jesus' name. He meant to come steal, kill, and destroy. But I turned it around on him, and this temptation and all this stuff that the devil's throwing at me, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm going to resist and I'm going to win. And then when I get all this glory and joy and all this grace working in my life, and then it turns into hope. What is hope? Hope comes after faith. I know in the world and in certain churches, hope is a dirty word. Hope is not a dirty word. Hope, worldly hope, is that means they don't really believe something's going to happen. But Bible hope is joyful, confident expectation, and it comes after faith. It comes out when I have faith, I am in hope. People don't like that but that means you just don't know what Bible hope is. Bible hope is joyful, confident expectation, and it comes after faith. Now, I know people say hope is bad. Worldly hope is bad. Bible hope is necessary. Amen? Amen. We good? I need to wind down.
There's a tornado on the ground in Limestone County, but it's going a little bit north of us.
Okay.
So if they have to go north, they might want to watch before they leave.
Okay. We're good. Y'all good?
There we go. It's not here.
It's not here. No. Okay. All right. I knew when she don't get up unless something's important. Okay. But I got one more scripture and then we're going to go anyway. But then you need to check the weather. We're going to pray over you and nothing's going to happen at your house. Amen. Nothing's going to happen at your house. Amen. Nothing's going to happen at your house. All your limbs stay where they belong, attached to the trees. Hallelujah. And your power stays on and everything is good. Okay. Now, such hope never. How many times does it disappoint? Never. Let's look at this again. Let's look at James 1:4. Put a bow on this. Woo, I'm so excited. But let endurance. See, if I have patience, So what am I? Trying of your work. Faith works patience. And then it says, and let patience have her perfect work in King James. It says, but let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking nothing. What the devil doesn't know, what the devil don't know, is when he messes with you and you've learned this and you turn this around on him. And most people in the body of Christ, and I'm really, you know, I don't really teach what I'm learning. I have learned this in the past, but I'm learning. I'm getting me some learning right now. Some revelation, more revelation on this. Come on. If every time the devil comes, you turn it around, he quit coming. Because every time he comes, you turn it. And you get stronger, and there's more glory in your life. There's more power in your life. He'd be like, that's the last time I'm going to try to make them depressed. That's the last time I'm going to try to make them sick. Would he ever give up? I don't know that he'll ever totally give up because he's the devil. But if you turn it around every time, but let endurance, steadfast, and patience have its full play and do a thorough work so that it should be perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking nothing. Now, I don't know that most people would like this, but it's in the book of James. What does that mean, lacking nothing? What does that mean? Be patient and let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting nothing. What could that mean, wanting nothing? That's just spiritual, right? Well, it's interesting that James also wrote about a man named Job. And Job, Pastor Rhonda teaches on Job. I do not attempt it. I just have one scripture, and it's the only one I need. And it's in James. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. What are we talking about tonight? Patience, perseverance, endurance. When the devil comes, I'm patient, I'm persevering, I'm enduring. What chapter are you in? James 5, verse 11. James, behold, we count them happy which endure. Everybody say, count me happy. Y'all look at me, I'm happy. I'm happy. Count them happy which endure, because we're enduring, right? You've heard of the patience or the endurance of Job. And when you hear, who did that to Job? The devil. Most people believe it's God. It's so funny to me that everywhere in the world, and they've never heard of Jesus, but they've always heard of Job and Paul's thorn in the flesh. And I'm not making that up. People know those two things. Why? Because it's the devil twisting scripture to make God look bad. And I don't have time to get into it, but the devil is the one who God didn't do it. God didn't allow it. God didn't send him. The devil, remember, because God said to him, you've been considering. He didn't say, here's Job, consider him to try to destroy. He's like, you've been considering my servant Job. He didn't say, consider him, go do something. He said, you've been considering. You've been looking at. And Job didn't have a covenant. But you've heard of the patience of Job. Now, the patience of Job lasted about or less than most scholars believe it was 8 months to a year. It wasn't his life. It was 8 months to a year. Yet we think it's his whole life. It was 8 months to a year. You've heard of the patience of Job. Do you have patience? Some of you are afraid to say it. Well, how do you get patience? You have endured when the devil comes. So you have patience. And it's a fruit of the Spirit. And then you've seen the end of the Lord. Now, if the Lord will do this with Job, who does not have a covenant, you have a covenant. And Jesus did for this, that the Lord is pitiful and of tender mercy. So your end is at least going to be as good as Job's end. You ought to be a little more happy about that. Well, I don't want to be like Job. Well, Job's The thing the devil did to him, 8 months to a year? Some of you have been going longer than that. And you're spirit-filled and God lives on the inside of you and you got a better covenant. But after tonight, you're going to be all woke up. And you're going to resist the devil. And what was the end of Job? Double for his trouble.